worship time, did we not? Isn't that part of what we come to do? We come to fellowship with our brothers and sisters. We come to worship our God. And we also come to hear the word of God preached, taught in Sunday schools, hear the testimonies of the saints. Amen. We don't just come here for play games, but we're serious here at New Berean Baptist Church, are we not? And God is serious about us. Our message today is entitled Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, from John 14:6. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we love you. We know that Jesus indeed is the way, and we are glad to have had a relationship to you, Father, through Jesus, as he is the way. We thank you for the fact that he's the truth and that he's the life. We ask you to remind us of these truths in this message today as we investigate, listen to, and study the preached word with regards to John 14:6. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 14:6, Jesus made a declaration that he was the way, the truth, and the life. It's one of the seven great I ams that we find in the New Testament. The big I am was discussed with Moses, back as he stood there at the burning bush, and God revealed who he was and said, tell him I am sent you. But there are some I ams in the Gospel of John. There's seven of them. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, I am the true vine. But one of these in our message today, John 14:6, is well known, and you will often hear it in funerals, for it embodies a hope for those whose loved one has transitioned into eternity, for those that are saved. But this passage, this verse, John 14:6, comes at a time that Jesus was having a discussion. Was having that discussion with his disciples there at the Last Supper. He was preparing his disciples for his impending death. And Jesus told them that he would be with them for only a little while longer. And where he was going, they cannot come. But he would return and take them where he is to be with the Father. And this prompted some questions by Philip and Thomas, who asked the master that, we don't know where you're going. And they asked for directions on how to get there. And today's message is the response that Jesus gave to Thomas's question, his inquiry. And it records one of the most well-known and comforting passages of all scripture, John 14:6. I am the way and the truth. And he didn't stop there. And the life. No one, he's being exclusive here, no one comes to the Father except through me. Our message, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. We have 3 points. Should be easy to figure out. First one is, Jesus is the way. That wasn't hard, was it? John 14:6. John 1:18. Acts 4:12. Hebrews 10:19-20. Second point, Jesus is the truth. John 8:31-32. John 17:17. John 18:38. And John 5:24. We'll keep it on the screen for right now. Jesus is the truth. I've had some experiences in this world where truth, man, we just don't really understand the relative importance of the fact that Jesus is the truth. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And much of the truth that I've heard in the last 10 years is just mind-blowing compared to the truth that is Jesus. Our third point, Jesus is the life. Romans 6:23, Hebrews 7:25, and John 10:10. The way, the truth, and the life. In John 14, looking at verse 1, after telling the disciples, who were kind of bummed out because Jesus had just said that one of you is going to betray me, and Judas had left at this point, and he's going to have to deal with Peter, who's busy trying to say, I'm not going to betray you. Not me. I'm your boy. I'll die before anything happens to you. That kind of thing. And he had to give him some comforting words. In the first verse in John 14 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or homes. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And in today's real estate market, if someone says they're going to give you a free place to live, that's good news. But they were not interested in that good news because they were confused. Verse 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am at the Father's house, there you may be also. So this takes us to our first point. Jesus is the way. Would you look at John 14:4-6? Well, verse 4 says, and where I go, you know, K-N-O-W, and the way you know. Where I go, you already know, and you already know how to get there. Now, verse 5 says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, they've heard him say this before, by the way. They've heard him say that he's not from their neighborhood. They've heard him say this before. I believe it's John chapter 8. And Jesus says in verse 14, as he's talking to the Pharisees of chapter 8 of John, Jesus answered and said to them, I'll start at verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, that record is not true. Catch that. What you saying ain't true, boy? Verse 14, Jesus answered and said to them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came. I know the neighborhood I came from. And whether I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whether I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, for I and the Father that sent me. Well, if the Father sent him, the Father must have been in his own neighborhood. So therefore, he knows what neighborhood his Father lives in. That's how he knows he was sent from that neighborhood. So Jesus is familiar with the neighborhood that God lives in. So he's true in his record. He knows the way. He knows how to get home. He knows all about home. Now, if we don't know, Jesus is saying, listen, let me show you. I am the way. He had already expressed these things in John 8 and a few other verses where he says that I'm not from here. I'm from above. Jesus clearly claims to be the only way to God. He is the way to God. John 14:6 tells us that. Peter would later proclaim in the book of Acts that there's no salvation but through him in order to get to the Father's neighborhood. Would you look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 12? Can't just call up an Uber and get to heaven. Acts 4:12 says this, nor is there salvation in any other. There is no other way. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only the name Jesus, only through him, do we have the ability to understand where the Father is and how to get there. John chapter 1 and verse 18 tells us how Jesus is the way to the Father by revealing him. Would you look at John chapter 1 and verse, John chapter 1 and verse 18. If we don't have it there, then that's okay. It says this, no one has seen the Father at any time. God said, if you see me, you're gonna die. He had to hide himself from Moses so he could just see the backside. That's what he told Moses. John chapter 1 verse 18 is stressed by the Gospel of John. Says, no one has seen God at any time. But then it says, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father has declared him. Jesus, the Son of God, he knows who the Father is. He's seen the Father. He and the Father are one, aren't they? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we know that Jesus is the Word. If he was God and he was with God, then of course Jesus was in the same neighborhood as the Father. You know, my daughter was in my driveway. We were outside. She was a little bit before me, and a dog was in the driveway. And she was before me as I was closing the gate. And so she stood still, and the dog stood still. Then I came up behind her and had my stick in my hand. She knew who the Father was. And the dog figured out, I think I need to be leaving this neighborhood. John chapter 12, verse 44 through 45. Then Jesus cried out, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. Now, why do we go through these scriptures? I want you to hear that Jesus was with the Father, that Jesus knows the Father, and Jesus knows where the Father lives. He's not one of them Pharisees that claims to know God, but Jesus says, you are nothing but the devil. Your father, the devil, he said. Verse 45. And he who sees me, and he who sees me sees him who sent me. You know, in the homegoing of Brother Barnes' father, I looked at the picture on the front, and I saw a very strong similarity between Steve and his father. And I looked at myself in the mirror and some pictures of my dad. I said, how'd that happen? How am I starting to look like my daddy? Jesus said in verse 45 of John 12, and he who sees me sees him who sent me. By opening the way to him, we see this emphasized in the book of Hebrews. We are seeing how Jesus is the way to the Father. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 20, we're talking about Jesus, and our first point is the way. Verse 19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by what? The blood of Jesus. Verse 20, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, there on that rugged cross, where the veil that kept man from God was torn. My body, which is broken for you. This allows man who believes the Father's request to trust the work of his Son for salvation. That is the way through the blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. We also know that Jesus is the way, not only by the blood, not only the fact that he and the Father are one, but also by serving as our high priest, as we see in Hebrews. Jesus now intercedes for us, doesn't he? If he's interceding for us, he must know the way. Can a courier deliver a message if he doesn't know where the destination of the message is? If you see the post office has some mail for you and the truck keeps going past your neighborhood and never stops at your house because the guy doesn't know where you live, which if you have some bills to pay, maybe you like that he don't stop by and put the mail bills in my, but he doesn't know. The postman knows where you live. And Jesus is interceding for us, is able to deliver what needs to be said to the Father on our behalf. He's our advocate. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. He is the mediator between God and man. In Titus, 1 Timothy, 2 and 5. And he ever lives to intercede for us in Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. Not only is he the way to God, he is also the truth, which is our next point. Jesus said he is the truth. Now, going through Bible college and having to study history and the 17th century and something called the Enlightenment, in which man suddenly realized that he was smarter than God. And he began to have his own relative truths and his philosophies. And many great men were happy to believe that, well, we're going to kick God to the curb. We got this. We know what we're doing. And they enjoyed during this time of the Enlightenment that they were no longer, according to their truth, they were no longer coerced to have personal limits on their freedom. They felt that they were smarter than God. And they challenged the church. And then the big church at that time was the Catholic Church with all of its rules and so forth. And they were trying to push the Catholic Church to the side. But let me tell you, as I said earlier, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. That stuff that we hear today, the moral relativism, that people have their own truths, that's not new. That was back in the 1700s. It's not new. It was back in Judges, every man that which was right in his own eyes. That's not new. Cain did it when he was told, hey, boy, don't you know you getting in trouble? Don't you cross that. Don't do it. And yet he decided to kill his brother anyway. Man has been standing in opposition to God since the fall to do his own thing. Oh, but Jesus is still the truth. That's what he tells us. He said, I am the way and the truth. Moral relativism asserts that morality is not based on any absolute standard or truth. Rather, our ethical truths depend on variables such as their situation in our culture and one's feelings. You know, I don't want you to think I have a beef with people who say they're one sex or another, because I love people, period. What I don't like is for someone to tell me what I have to accept as truth. I don't have to accept someone else's truth, and I'm not going to. When there are verses in the Bible that says some of you were murderers, some of you were thieves, and some of you were homosexuals. He then says, but such were some of you, meaning you can change. And in the Bible, those things were actions that people did. A person who commits adultery can be called an adulterer, but he doesn't put down on his birth certificate adulterer. That's just an act. A person does not put down on a birth certificate thief. That's something they did. And when God was bringing those things up, the word homosexual meant the actions of a person committing those acts. But Satan today has convinced the world that the word homosexual is actually similar to a race. So if you say the word homosexual, ooh, that's a bad word. No, we're talking about the act, and such were some of you. But that's man's truth. So I found it interesting when I found an article in the National Institutes of Health. They published a report in 1996. They studied the sex of 19 ancient and 20 modern individuals, the bones. There's no flesh now, it's just bones. And they used DNA, and they were able to accurately determine, using the molecular genetic technique, which one was male and which one was female. Now, the Bible tells me that God made us male and female. It doesn't matter what truth somebody says. God still says you're either male or you're female. Period. See, God has his truth. And some people have their own made-up truth. But my friends, in that second point, Jesus is the truth. C.S. Lewis, the author of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, he was a very good writer, but he was also a very good with apologetics. He could defend the faith like few could. He was good at it. And he made this famous statement about Jesus. He was either a liar, a lunatic, or he is Lord. Now, it doesn't make sense that he's a liar, because the things that he said did happen. Case in point, that the temple would be torn down. In 70 years, it was torn down. He said he was going to come back from the dead. It happened. Many of the things that he said came true. Many of the prophecies that he quoted were fulfilled in his lifetime. It cannot be denied. Everything about himself that he said did happen. He said he'd be betrayed. He was betrayed. He said that he would die. He did die. He said he'd come back. And he did come back. Why? He's the truth. Amen. He was even to tell people things about themselves that they didn't think anybody knew. Woman at the well. How you know that? I hadn't put that on Facebook. Or perhaps he was a lunatic. You know, his brothers thought that, you know, he wasn't right in the head. But isn't it amazing? James and Jude both have New Testament books, epistles in the Bible. The same brothers that wouldn't believe in him, they have books. The Bible says that after he resurrected, he visited his brothers. They lived with him. If anybody thought he was a nut, they should have been experts at it. But what happened? Something changed. They found the truth. They even died because of that. James became the leader of the church there at Jerusalem. And he would not deny Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He wouldn't do it. They threw him off the pinnacle of the temple. He fell. He still lived. And then they clubbed him to death. Jesus is the truth. I believe his brothers would have said, nah, he ain't what he say he is. It leaves us with one option left. He's a liar? No. He's a lunatic? No. Then he must be Lord. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20 puts it this way about him being the truth. Verse 20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. Let me say that again. 1 John 5, verse 20. You can turn to it if you want to. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. Jesus said, I am the truth. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus is the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And then verse 32 of chapter 8 says, ye shall know the truth. And is the word of God true? John 17 and verse 17 says this, sanctify them in thy truth. Then he hits it with this one, thy word. Talking about the Father now. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. It's hard for me to argue against a God whose very words are truth. What am I going to say? If his word is truth, then my arguments against him mean nothing. The Bible says that his word will not return to him void, and it will accomplish that which he sent it to accomplish. If his word is true, what can I say? And since Jesus is the word, then Jesus must be the truth. Psalms 119 and verse 160 says, the sum of thy word is truth. Man, the sum, the total sum of everything that you say in your word is truth. And every one of thy righteous ordinances endureth forever. Did you know that God's word endures forever? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. When you received the words that resulted in your salvation, what you received was the word, and you received it not as words from a man, but as the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You got some promises you want to hold on to? You need to hold on to them because they're true. Don't wibble and wobble. I don't know. You should know because the word is true. Hold on to his promises. I can say something, but you know, that's just something about Case to say, you know, that boy crazy. But listen, when you got the word to hold on to, my friends, let me tell you something. You got something good because it's true. Pilate asked the question, what is truth? He was having an interview with Jesus. And verse 36 of John 18, Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not. He said, are you a king? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Where is it? It's in the Father's neighborhood. Thomas. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, rightly, you say that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into this world from above, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Those who are not saved cannot hear the voice, but those who are believers will hear his voice. Pilate then said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him. What he wanted to say was, I find no fault in this nut. I don't know why you brought him here. He ain't about ready to attack nobody. Y'all just did this because y'all don't like him. Basically, that's what he was doing. He just wanted to get rid of the problem, so he said, crucify. You might recall that Jesus had told Pilate that everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Look what the Bible says in John 5, 24. Because this is truth. John 5, 24 says this, most assuredly, I say to you, in the New King James, he who hears my word, because the word is true, and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. That's how you get to my Father's neighborhood. And shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Jesus said about truth, those who hear my voice, they're my believers. And if you hear his word and believe in him, you can become a believer, according to John 5 and verse 24. Because life and judgment are through the Son. He is the way. And then in John 10, we see in verse 2, but he that enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. In verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Back then, in the sheepfold, it was either rocks, sticks, logs, trees, or whatever. They would take all of the flocks of the various shepherds that are under the chief shepherd, and they would put them in one big giant place called a sheepfold. And the shepherd, one of the shepherds, would lay in front of the opening. And that was the gate or the door. Jesus said, "I am the door. Nobody comes in. All right, you got to come in, you got to come through the door. That's me." That's a symbol of Jesus Christ. He says, in the morning time, when it's time for the sheep to be released, and Jimmy has his sheep, and Bob has his sheep, and Frank has his sheep, Frank come out and say, Susie, Charmaine, Deacon Parker, y'all come out. And they would come because they know their name. And they hear his voice, and they come out. You see, Jesus said, "I am the truth." And the truth is that when people hear my voice, they will come. They are those who are my believers. No wonder Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, because Jesus is the true shepherd. And truly, those who hear his voice know he's talking truth, and they will come and be part of his pasture and part of the Father's neighborhood. Which takes us to our last point, that Jesus is the life. Jesus, in fact, is the life. Jesus is the life. That was the declaration or the claim that he made in his reply to Thomas. Jesus is the life. He breathed life into man's nostrils, and Adam became a living soul. Man is a spirit being who has a soul and lives in a body. Because of sin, that spirit died. Adam was spiritually dead. God said, "In the day that you eat of it," talking about that tree, that fruit from the tree of knowledge and good and evil, "you will die." And Adam died a spiritual death. He was still living in this world, but spiritually he was dead. But my friends, Jesus said, "I am the life. I'm not going to let you stay that way if you believe on the Father's words who sent me for this cause of restoring you to life. Every man is born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. He is incapable of saving himself. I'm glad that Jesus, therefore, is the life, because it was up to me, I'd still be spiritually dead." Jesus Christ is the source of all spiritual life, and in him is eternal life for all who will trust in the redemptive work there he made there on the cross. And it's through faith in him that we are made a new creature in Christ. We have a new life. We've been born again. And then Jesus lives in us through the Spirit of God. We become a temple of God. Jesus is the life. He is the creator, wasn't he? What does John 1 and verse 1 say? "In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God." And as we continue, everything that was made by him, right? Yes, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "He upholds all things by the word of his power." Colossians 1:17 says, "He is before all things, and by him all things consist." Everything that we see, all the atoms, everything stays in its present state because he said so. But there is a death coming for those who don't know him. And if we look in Romans 6:23, we find out that death is a result of sin, man being separated from God. But look at what it says in Romans 6:23. It says this, "For the wages of sin is death." That's not fun. But look, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." And by these scriptures that we're looking at, we have eternal life because of him. As a gift, as we believe and trust in him. There's no longer an eternal separation between me and my Father in heaven because of Jesus. I will not suffer the second death because I know Jesus. He gives salvation from the second death. For the life that I have through Jesus Christ is a life that is eternal. But not only can we look at that verse, but we can look at Hebrews 7:25, which says, "Therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God." Through who? Him. Hebrews 7:25. "Therefore he is able to save to the uttermost." That means anybody. Can't throw anybody out. We don't know if Jesus could have been saved from the standpoint that we read it, but that doesn't mean that he couldn't have. We don't know that. But we do know this. He knew who Jesus was, and he did not believe. He did not believe. His sorrow, his repentance, was that he got caught. That was it. There was no repentance to salvation for him. Oh, but listen, no matter what we've done, God is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. There's always hope in Jesus. For those who have considered suicide, you've had friends, I've had friends. And I look at people and go like, why? There are people who have been rich beyond their wildest dreams. But they ended their life because they would not trust and believe all that Jesus has for them. John 10 and verse 10. Says that the thief come not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan is not about life, is he? But Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." And in the Greek, that has a sense of super abundant, running over. Think about Jesus as the good shepherd. What do sheep do? As the good shepherd, what do sheep do? If you've ever seen them, I guess they're ducks or geese, the ones that like to stand in the road forever and a day. Most of the time, what do you see them doing? Eating, right? Either eating or standing in the road, one of the two. And if you see a cow, what's a cow doing most of the time? Eating. You know what sheep like to do? Now, monkeys like to play. But the sheep, they like to eat. What abundant life would a sheep look for? when he opens the gate and they get to go out, and the shepherd whose job is to protect them also finds them pasture. And when he can find them an abundance of green grass to go eat, oh, they're going to have a good time. In John 10, if you take the understanding of the context, that I came to give you life and more abundantly, super abundant, that means all the pasture you can eat. I want you to be able to enjoy what you do. And that's what God is saying to us when he talks about the abundant life. Whether someone's in a prison cell because of their faith, hidden behind bars by the folks in North Korea or in the communist China, but they still can have an abundant life because they have Jesus, and that's their mindset. They're thinking about him and going to see the Father. That abundant life is something that Jesus also says he offers us when he says, I am the life. Now, does Jesus know the way to the Father? Yes, he does. He is the only way. I had a job in North Carolina. My boss was a former Navy chief, petty officer. That means he knows everything. He knows everything that the captain should know, but sometimes doesn't. And he knows everything else. And he asked me where I live, because my application, when he read it, says, you didn't put your address down. I said, yes, I did. What's your address? Post office box, blah, blah, blah. Went to North Carolina. He said, well, what's your address? I just told you. No, I need to know your house number. I don't have a house number. Well, how do people know where you're going? Well, you come down 13, and then you get on Main Street, and then the third row, you take Murphy Street, and then I'm the third house. My dad's house is the third house from the corner. Now, you can't find that on Google. You can't find it on your GPS. But if you will ask me how to get to my house, my daddy's house, I tell you. Because I know where he lives. Jesus said, boys, haven't you been with me long enough? Don't you know I know where my daddy's house is? I said, I'm going to come and get you. Why are you worried? Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus Christ says that he is the way. He's the only way to the Father, and he knows how to get to the Father's neighborhood. Jesus is the way, and every one of us must follow him in that way. There is no other way to get to heaven. He said so himself. Jesus is the truth in whom we must believe. Jesus is the life in whom we have our hope. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me. That's the only way to get to heaven. There's no other way to God, no other truth about God, no other life apart from God. The claim that Christ made is exclusive. Either you have life or you don't. Either you have and believed in Christ or you don't. It's one or the other, the wide road or the narrow road. There's only one way, one truth. And life, my friends, is in Jesus. It's not in any other religion. It's in nobody else's faith. Nobody can say, I have my own truth, and I believe this about God, and I believe this about God. What you say doesn't matter, because only God's word is truth. No other philosophy, no period of enlightenment from the 1700s. No other gospel can be told that will lead the sinner from their destruction to God the Father, who tells us the truth, Jesus tells us the truth about him. Jesus gives us eternal life. There's nobody other than Jesus. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Now, if you don't know how to get to Jesus' neighborhood, you must believe on Jesus himself. Jesus said, nobody comes to the Father but by me. If there's anyone in here who has never by faith confessed that, you know, I realize I'm a sinner. I know I do that. But I don't want to die and go to hell. That's what I said to myself in room 232 Residence Hall C. I want to get to the Father's neighborhood. I want to be in heaven. I understand that I must believe in Jesus Christ in order to do that. I'm ready to confess my sin. I'm ready to confess Jesus as Lord. I'm ready to believe on him so I can have eternal life. Does anyone who would like to know Jesus Christ as Savior, you can do that. Let us all bow our heads and close our eyes.